Heavy shredding, part skiing, part skateboarding, part surfing. It's snowboarding! And welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
Is there ever a moment where other sports are defined by the parts of other sports that might be similar to them? I feel like snowboarding didn't need to be done so dirty that it was like...
Is it just three other sports combined? Is snowboarding like still only 40 years old?
The 1990 is still part of that like 80s rad stuff where like skateboarding is cool and surfing's cool, as we saw in Town and Country Water Surf Designs, whatever that video game was called.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know where skiing
Wood and Water Rage.
But they don't describe skateboarding as like it's like driving, but the car is really small and there's no engine.
Half driving, yeah,
your body's
half
the car.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like walking.
I will be honest that when you started reading that back in the box, I had a mini panic attack. I was like, did I miss like three quarters of this game with the skiing and the sledding and whatever all these other snow dogs, whatever all these other sports were?
Wow, we got robbed of a snow dog video.
That
game.
Would be pretty awesome.
You like raise the dogs. You breed them over time to get better
it's like
dogs.
It's like part Tamagotchi, part movie, part sport.
But Heavy Shredding is, to be clear, just a snowboarding game, and it is actually our first snowboarding game. Snowboarding video games, have a surprisingly like well-regarded. At least a few franchises, the SSX franchise, 1080 Avalanche. Like, it's surprising that there's more than one franchise that people think fondly of when they think of snowboarding games. Did you guys play either of those?
I've never even heard of 1080 Avalanche. I played some SSX.
Well, you're not a Nintendo kid, though, right? Like, I mean, you were for the NES or whatever, 64? But like, I think it was GameCube.
Oh, okay. I played some SSX 3, I think, and I remember when Steep came out, I was like, oh, that looks cool, and then I never, like, even attempted to play it.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I used to play SSX, like, casually at, like, a friend's house when I was a kid, and also thought Steep looked really cool, and also never played it.
And Steep is, like, really new, so, or not really new, but relatively new compared to the other two examples. So they're still making snowboarding video games, whereas we don't really see another slalom successor anytime soon, right?
I mean, maybe
like
this
skiing in general
is like the closest. I mean, yeah, because it's not skiing, but like there's slalom is an event in this game.
Yeah, I guess I messed up. I guess I was saying more like slalom, the video game, which was skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas, like, you know, here it's like Heavy Shredding, it's new to us, right, on the NES catalog, but snowboarding games are here to stay, and people think they're pretty cool, and they're only getting, like, bigger. Like, they kind of, like, were something you thought about for the X Games, and now you think about them as an Olympic event, and I feel like snowboarding is today's equivalent of what skateboarding was back then. Like, now skateboarding feels less highlighted with the retirement of Tony Hawk.
I guess I don't know if I really hear much about snowboarding ever either, other than like a friend of mine who's like, hey, learn to snowboard. Like, I don't think I ever hear about it like
Sean
in like the
White,
actual like.
But I think he's retired too. So I'm just as exposed to snowboarding as I was in the early 2000s and the mid 90s, I think.
Well, I'm thinking of that. I don't know her name, unfortunately, but that girl who. Has won like US Olympic gold in snowboarding the last like at least last time that it happened, if not two times, but I don't know her name, so I'm just as guilty as you guys of being negligent about the sport.
We should be doing better.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll do better when we talk about the game. The game itself, the way that it works is you are at this I'm not gonna call it a resort because it's not like you're doing anything other than the events, but it's like a giant mountain and there are different paths on the mountain, and basically you have to take the beginner slope before you can progress on to the more difficult ones. There are 5 different events that that can occur in the game, but it doesn't mean that you can select, like, I'm going to tackle all the downhill options and get golds in them all or something like that. Like, that's not how this game works. Instead, on this path of the mountain, you will be required to, you know, to complete the events in succession of one another. So you might go from, like, doing the downhill portion to just immediately entering the slalom section to then doing the backwoods. And it's like, I don't think that's representative of any kind of real snowboarding sport, but it is kind of an interesting approach from a video game standpoint of keeping the player on their toes. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree that it's very much not how I think any kind of snowboarding excursion would go. I think it's funny to think that you're just sort of doing a, like, a point-to-point run down a slope, and then you get to, like, the half pipe, and then somebody's immediately shouting at you, like, do a barrel roll, or, like, do a 360, or, like, do the mulligan kick, and mule kick, sorry. And it's just, it's weird. It's very weird. But it sounds, but it's very arcade, too.
Yeah, but my favorite part was that it's, you know, it is treating it, even though this is not necessarily, as far as I know, like, the way any events work, it's treating it like you're at an actual, like, professional snowboarding event. And to my knowledge, none of those have you go across an active highway or jump over, like, an actual cliff. So I was surprised by those, because I was taking it as, like, oh, this is trying to be, like, a grounded, serious, like, portrayal of snowboarding, and then it got,
well,
a
it's
silly.
Okay to be silly, right? Like, I wasn't expected to be grounded, because it does kind of have that arcadey aspect to it, but the highway thing is just confusing from, like, a how does the mountain work perspective. Like, you're looking out there and it's like there's these 3 mountains and all these different trails on the mountain, and somewhere there's just a highway running across these mountains. Like,
yeah, they should have put it on
the
map. The
highway just goes in a circle. The highway just goes in a circle, loops back around to the beginning, around the, like, it's like a little halo around the mountain. If you're on the highway, you never get off, and you never were off. You've always been on it.
Whoa. It's like some Hotel California stuff.
And so there's the downhill, the slalom, the half pipe, the moguls, and the backwoods. And the way that it works, as I mentioned, is it's just kind of like, depending on which trail you do, it's a different order. So the very first thing you do is the downhill, the slalom, and then the backwoods. And if you manage to make it through all 3 of these events, you will move on to the next trail.
I just want to take a moment to call out how they named these trails, like these arrangements of events. The first one that you do is something like Poser Peak or something. And I don't know if there's any game that just right off the bat insults you kind of like that. Like, there are games that insult you personally, but the first thing you see is the game calling you a poser. Wasn't expecting that.
Definitely wasn't expecting that. Also wasn't expecting, not that the events themselves are so long, but, like, it is a bit of a gauntlet to, like, learn what's coming at you just in any of the particular, like, first 3 events here, the downhill, the slalom, and the backwood. There's a lot of obstacles. There's a lot of, like, time. There's a time limit. There's a control, like, understanding of, like, wrapping your brain around, like, do I have to move faster? Is there a way to move faster? Especially with the highway, like, to jump over it, like, it requires a very precise timing on that ramp. I guess what I mean is like, when you're doing it right and you're snowboarding, it's a fun game, and it's very easy to dodge obstacles that you're aware are coming, but then the game purposely feels like it's throwing curveballs that they don't want you to get right away. They want you to, like, screw up and have to learn from them, and sometimes that could just be the thing that you screw up is just the timing of a jump on a ramp. And I found that to be a lot less fun than, say, I got to dodge the other skiers that are in the way. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, that works. And I'll learn that, no problem. the timing of a jump on a ramp, I don't know. Was I the only one who had problems with that?
Oh, no. I had tons of problems. The sort of, like, not collision detection, but, like, just the physics and how it, like, detects clipping and what it decides for you to trip over is completely ridiculous. So I had my frustrations. I don't think that the concept of the game throwing stuff at you that it wants you to fail at and try over, I don't think that's like a sin or anything, but I think that from the ground up, the movement and just feel of this game was off the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I particularly relate to that, that the like clipping hitboxes were very confusing to me, especially with the trees. Because like sometimes it felt accurate where it's like, yeah, even though my sprite is colliding with the sprite of this tree, that's because it's taking up Z space or whatever. Like, you know, it's going upwards and I'm on the other side of it. And then sometimes that wasn't true. Sometimes it was just felt like, oh, if I go anywhere near that sprite, I'm hit and there's no behind this tree.
Yeah.
Which was a little weird. But then I also noticed, to your point, Mike, about like this like weird like little things that you don't pick up on right away. It's like there's like a, I'm not even sure I could actually articulate what I learned. I just kind of like got the hang of it after a while, but there's like a weird relationship that I had with turning where like sometimes if I'm going, I think it was kind of like if depending on like if I'm going downhill and I, you know, try to go to the left or the right on the screen, I'll go to the left or right. But then other times when I hit the left or right, like it would just turn, rotate me like all the way around until the point where I'm like going backwards. And, that got confusing, and again, I don't know if I actually solved it like consciously. I think I just somehow got the feel for it eventually.
I think what's going on here, and it's hard to tell because again, it's all just flat white space, and there's no like any indication of like if you're going downhill or not until you see like a line of trees that make a diagonal. But it is shifting between like maybe not like flat ground, but like a slight grade and a steep grade, and I think the directions you're supposed to press to turn and to move faster or slower, like that shifts with these like not very well telegraphed shifts in grade. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think.
Yeah, I gathered that too, and it is funny because yeah, if there's not those context clues, all you can look at is like the horizon to give you the idea of the slope, because everything else is pure white. There's no shading or anything. So there literally would be no way to tell unless you're looking off on the horizon and then you can see like, okay, the slope starts there. But even then, if the slope on the horizon starts there, it takes a second for your mind to like draw the line from the horizon, you know, diagonally across the screen to find where yours.
Exactly.
You know, it's just not intuitive.
Is there enough of a different challenge between what the downhill is and what the slalom is, or, you know, the other two are the half pipe and the moguls, which require you to perform tricks? Like, is there a big difference between, like, a timed run versus, you know, going between the flags versus the half pipe has you do tricks on a half pipe, obviously, while the moguls has those little snow bumps and that you have to do tricks to get over them? Did you feel like there was an actual variety or more like it was just, you know, oh, okay, I'm kind of doing the same thing, but now I just arbitrarily have to go between these flags versus dodge these obstacles?
I prefer sort of what they did to differentiate the like survival run slash downhill slash slalom, because you were using, I mean, as confusing as we just described, at least like, it's all the same mechanics. Whereas with the half pipe, it just completely changes how the game plays. And I guess that can add some, that definitely adds some variety, but when like the runs are so short, and I mean, I know you're supposed to fail a lot to extend like the length of the game, but it makes that one feel like a like this is a not a party game, but just a bunch of like mini games that don't have a lot of depth. So I when you can keep the same mechanics, like the movement style between these things that just have different objectives, I would prefer that as opposed to that, like, yeah, the half pipe was just weird.
Yeah, I that's why I'm kind of like torn in general on the idea that, like, yeah, that this is split up by levels of difficulty of the peaks, but you not by event, because it is jarring to be like, yeah, I'm doing these events that all kind of like feel like they require similar skills, and in the middle of it, I have to do this other thing. And I don't know, if I had chosen, okay, I'm going to do the half pipe thing now, and it's like, that's what I'm doing, it might feel a little more like I could get into it. But now it feels like, okay, this is a thing I have to get through to complete the, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter how good I'm doing at the other thing, now I got to do this additional totally different game in order to, like, to make that count. Whereas, like, I would rather be like, okay, now I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do the half pipe thing and, like, really try to get good at that. Then I'm going to sit down and do this other thing. Like, it is a little, it's weird that it made you do it this way and didn't give you the, at least give you the option to like, just try one.
Yeah, I do think a lot of games suffer from what you're describing as, like, something that could be a side quest but becomes, like, an unskippable mission objective, winds up, like, ruining the flow of a game that they could have otherwise completed, but now you've introduced a new challenge to the player. And, you know, it's not that... What's funny is, actually, when I first played the halfpipe, I thought it was impossible. It was giving me Winter Games vibes. But the answer is right there in the manual, that you have to do the stunt that is being asked of you. This is not like a competition of you just showing off the coolest moves you can perform. It's a game of Simon Says, where they say on screen, you know, 360 midair jump, and you have to, 360 spin, and you have to do that. And midair jump, you have to do that exact thing as they call it out. And once you learn that, I actually think, like, yeah, it works, right? It's not Winter Games level broken, but it's less fun that way. It should be like, you have a limited amount of time on this half pipe. Do the craziest tricks you can do in the allotted time to score a certain amount of points to move on, right?
Because it is giving you points for things, and they're not all just the, like, oh, you hit the thing we asked you for, so here's your flat amount of points. Like, it is doing that, so it shouldn't be telling you exactly what to do. I agree. That's all I'm saying. It's dumb.
Because it also just, like, you crash if you don't do the thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not even like ridiculous. You can perform the other tricks, right? It's holding you back from doing... It would be like if in the slalom, if you didn't go through the flags, right, the player just got shot in the face.
It's like Spider-Man, where you just get this, like, weird game over screen if you don't do exactly... Oh, no, not Spider-Man, sorry. This is more of a Rockstar thing. If you don't do each Grand Theft Auto mission to the T, park in that specific spot, it's just like, sorry, you weren't supposed to park there. You got to restart from the beginning.
And you died.
Yeah, you died. So I found that very annoying.
And the event that I left out, the last one, the Backwoods, it's like a combination of the downhill, the slalom, not really the moguls, but definitely the downhill and the slalom. It just kind of throws a bunch of things. I actually think of it very similar to in Paperboy. There was the training course at the end after you throw all the newspapers in the people's mailboxes. It just went to this, like, you know, how can you survive? And it was like a little obstacle course at the end. The weird thing about that, though, is that with the training course, it was just like a way to earn extra points. Like, if you crash, it's like you did the part of the game that was the assignment. You threw the newspapers to the people's lawns or directly to their mailboxes. In this game, if you get to the Backwoods section, it's not like optional bonus points. It's like, okay, now you must survive everything, everywhere, all at once.
Good movie.
So in this way, it's kind of like a cross between snowboarding and wrestling, where, like, the backstage stuff becomes part of the show, and you get, like, locker room fights, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, why else would all these things be happening?
Right? Why is are that things another happening?
Sport? Yeah.
What else goes on in the backwoods that we don't know about outside
like
of this
back
game?
Rooms? Like the kids are saying these days?
And the backwoods of the very first level, it's not that the obstacles are super challenging. You will have to learn them. But I actually found the time limit to be super challenging of like, is there a way for you to snowboard faster? Is snowboard the verb there? Like, you know how like you wouldn't say skateboard faster, you would say skate faster. Is there a way to snow faster in this game?
Maybe it's just
to snow faster. Wait, snow is the verb?
Guys, the actual question is the actual question's more important.
What was the actual question? Sorry, you distracted me.
Is there a way to move faster in this game when time matters? Like I kept completing with like either no time remaining and so you don't get to complete it, or completing with like 0.8 seconds left on the clock.
I thought it felt like holding forward, or I guess right in this case on the D-pad, was making me go faster up to a maximum speed, which like you hit very quickly and then you're just going at that speed. I could have totally imagined
I think it
that.
Does
I
work
didn't
that
bother
way
to check, but
it,
yeah.
I will agree though too that the time limits for this game are almost, I mean, we were able to complete them, but it's way too tight for there to be like any wiggle room. Like you cannot make a mistake. And just another note on the actual controls of this game. Like, I thought to go faster, it would be like almost like the more modern games where you kind of have to do like slow like S's, you know, to get your speed going and like to get it not catch an edge. But I don't know the parlance for snowboarding, but I thought it was gonna be a lot more surfy, if you know what I'm trying to say. Whereas it was kind of disappointing when I learned that it was really just lean forward. And I think it took a lot of the kind of mechanic mastery that could have been there away from the game.
Yeah, I also think that even like if the mechanics didn't change, but just something about the like the speed of the game. Like I know, I'm sure that like if you measure the pixels and do the math, you're going as fast as like a snowboarder would go, and you see these trees in the distance moving slowly. But it feels slow, doesn't it? It feels like you're trudging a little bit.
Yeah,
I will say before I started playing, I was just curious, like, oh, what is this game? And so I looked up a YouTube video and I saw like the first like second of it, and I actually laughed out loud because the name of the game has given me such a cognitive dissonance to like the speed you're going, like
heavy
shredding,
and
you're just like, yeah, yeah, and you're just like barely moving.
Barely moving.
And the manual does agree that just holding in the right, the D-pad to the right is how you move faster. I guess I'm agreeing with Joe's point here that I just never felt like I was moving any faster. So thank you, Sean, for clarifying that time limits are just incredibly razor thin margins here. If you do manage to complete the trail, even the very first trail, any of the trails, you are greeted by a woman, a very detailed woman on screen. She starts off just saying good. Then it becomes great, wow, etc. as you move through them. But there's something about the like, what is it? Is it like 80s goth look?
I have
her?
No
like,
idea what this is supposed to be. Like,
it is genuinely startling. Like, it really is.
Like, she looks like, I mean, the hair is very 80s. I appreciate that. But she's not wearing any, like, gear. Like, it's just like, this is what a fan at back at the back at the lodge or something. Like, I don't understand who she's supposed to be.
Yeah, is she just Yeah, she's just one person just, like, staring at you intently. A very photorealistic person with purple eyes.
Yeah.
Just
Mike, can you make this image the cover for this episode?
I most certainly can. And actually, I figured out where she's from. She's a background character in the Last Christmas music video by Wham. She is spot on. Just check out that music video if you get a chance, which is actually on a skiing trip. They go up to a snowy mountains and everything, and everybody looks like this woman.
So this
everybody has this vibe.
This is from the Whamverse. This game. Yeah,
this is from the Whamiverse, we call it.
Got it.
There's just like, I think it's just that the sprite is too close up, right? Like I get what you're saying, Sean, that she should have snow gear or something or some kind of contextual thing. But even without the context, Joe's right that it's startling because it's just so detailed and so close up and so shadowy. Like, she has so much shadowy contour on her face.
Yeah. And it doesn't even look like she's happy to be there or like that she's happy for you. She's just very cool looking. And if you read it in a different way, she might even be angry with you.
Heavy Shreddin' was developed by Imagineering, and they also recently did Ghostbusters 2. Not that it's important, but also, like, you know, is this just something that, like, one guy, like, made this and they were like, oh, that's going to look great in the game. Like, you know, like, was it a separate thing that then just got thrown into the game? Or do you think this was, like, a legitimate part of a design document where it was like, and then there's going to be a woman that tells you you did great.
Who developed this game? You know.
Imagineering.
Me. Imagineering. You know what? I don't think Imagineering does the whole design doc thing.
Yeah, I'm going to guess not. I'm going to guess that they are the first thirsty dev in existence.
Maybe they don't do any review. Maybe somebody snuck this picture in, like that that original like adventure game or whatever. Someone snuck in the credit. Maybe this picture was not supposed to be shipped in the game.
But yet it just happens after every single level.
Yeah, they popped it in at the end after every level and nobody played it again after that. And then they shipped it.
Yep, they wouldn't be the first dev not to play test their games. They put an endorsement from Snowboard Magazine on the back of the box, and I didn't read that. That's not the part skiing, part skateboarding, because I don't think Snowboard Magazine wants you to think of other sporting events while you're thinking of snowboarding. But the endorsement from Snowboard Magazine was that the realism is uncanny. Is that, like, I don't know, is that the best thing? Like, shouldn't they have just said, like, it's the greatest snowboarding game to ever exist. You know, like, the realism is uncanny.
Well, yeah, you're really setting up the audience for disappointment after saying that.
They're a thinking man's snowboarding periodical. You have to go to Shreddin' boards to get like Luddite perspectives in writing like that, Mike.
Games like these live and die by the vibe of the game, and by that I mean like following true to like what you imagine snowboarding to be like, right? It's one thing to just be good, to be a good snowboarder in these games, like that's a given. You're supposed to be good at the thing that you can't do in real life, but it also needs to carry a vibe with it. And other than the close-up shot of this woman and the fact that it all takes place on a snowy mountain, do you think they captured the, like, you know, like surfing games will have the whole, like, you know, hang 10 dude and stuff like that, and it'll take place in Hawaii, and they'll be like, you know, a little more like chillax, bro. Does snowboarding have anything like that? And if so, is it represented in the game?
So, from what I know of snowboarders, they're kind of the same in that, like, it's all about being chill and, like, you know, you're a snob bra. But I'm not seeing, again, like, fashion's a big part of it. This guy's just wearing like tight black pants and a pink t-shirt. No facial wear. So it's not hitting on the fashion mark. The music, maybe.
I did like the music. I did think it was pretty good.
It's good music, and it definitely is a vibe, but I don't know if snowboarders are really into rockabilly, maybe. But they'd have to be for this to make sense. And then, yeah, they missed an opportunity to have these interstitial like screenshots, not screenshots, whatever the girl thing is. If they change that to be something more like culturally snowboardy, then I'd say so. But so I don't really think they nailed the cultural aspect here.
Yeah, as someone who I did when I was younger was did extensive research on snowboarding from a movie called Johnny Tsunami. yeah, I did not feel the snowboarding culture in this like that movie portrayed, which I know could only be 100% accurate.
And on the sequels and spinoff side, there weren't any other sequels or follow-up games, but in Europe, the game was released with a different title. It was just called Snowboard Challenge. I guess they didn't think Heavy Shreddin' could be localized outside of the States. We own all the cool 80s, you know, lingo.
That is disappointing.
It's fair. Well, I it just dawned on me right now why we called it Heavy Shreddin'. Is because when you drop your snowboard on the ground at the very beginning, the first thing I notice, you drop your snowboard on the snow, and it's like, poof. Like, I don't think snowboards make that sound, but maybe it's a very heavy snowboard.
They all make that sound.
And you learned that from this game and not Johnny Tsunami?
Johnny
they never
drop
the board.
They're very light.
that checks out.
That's a, yeah.
And that will also start the checkout of this episode as we move into our final segment, the Essential Games List. To go back to the close-up portrait shot of that 80s chick that's in between levels of this game, you could read it, and I think they do give her an exclamation mark of like, you could read it that she's genuinely excited for you, being like, good, wow, great, but... You could also read it as, like, somebody who's not really, like, especially because she's not wearing snowboard gear herself, she's not really amused by what you're doing, and she's just kind of humoring you, like, oh, good, great, like, you did that? Great, awesome, whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also what it feels like to complete these really challenging snow trails, is that you are just kind of, like, in the gauntlet, and then as soon as you complete that, it's like, okay, just do the next one. There's no, like, there's no progression. There's no, like, not, you know, like, there are different events and the order of the events and the layouts of the stages. I do get that. And it's not like every racing game just isn't just like, okay, now go race on the next track. But those tracks, like, they're laid out very differently. Here, it's just, like, where the obstacles are placed is different. It's still just, like, you snow from like the top left down to the bottom right, and it just keeps happening. And so maybe snowboarding video games on the NES just aren't for me, but this one felt the same way of like, oh, when I finished the level, I didn't give myself like a big, you know, feeling of victory. I was just kind of like, oh, neat. I beat the level, you know, same thing as the girl. So for me, it's going to be a no on the Essential Games List. Joe?
So I have a new theory as to what the screen with that woman on it that pops up, what that actually was. And I think that that was left over, and that is how the developers were communicating with like their team. When it was like they would test the game, and they would be like, this is good. But instead they would put this sprite of the woman in there for them to see, and they were supposed to remove it. But her response was always very lackluster, very like, good, fine. This is fine. And I think that that is how it shipped, where this game is just fine. Sorry, that was a little bit of a stretch of an Essential Games vote, but that's my Essential Games vote.
Game yeah, we've fine. Never given any game Get a that. Fine before, but I'll make sure to put that in the notes here for this one. Sean?
Yeah, this is just another illustration, I guess, between this and like the... board and surf one and skate or die or basically any of those that like until proven otherwise, I will remain of the opinion that the first extreme sport game worth its salt will be Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And I, cause I'm not having fun with these at all. So yeah, absolutely not essential.
All right. So, even when you combine skiing, skateboarding, and surfing to create a legendary new sporting event like snowboarding, it's just not enough. And I think we all kind of had probably more fun with the skiing, skateboarding. The skiing one actually got on the Essential Games List at one point, so that's kind of crazy that when you're only 33% skiing, you don't really stand a chance. Next week, we'll be playing Image Fight. I can't tell if that's one word or not. The box certainly looks like it's one word, but I don't think you would... How would you say it any differently?
Imagifight.
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 Imagifight. I don't think... Is that how that would work? Imagifight. Imagifight. It's a mage game. It's a wizard casting game. Imagefight.
I like that one.
It's actually Image Fight is a Pictionary brawler.
I was gonna save this for that episode, but I do feel like it's like it's just a really bad translation of video game. You know, it's just like an image, and you control the image.
It's an alien describing video games.